lot of debt on the minds of investors.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Jobs on the minds of some in Washington, and Alan Sloan says Social Security's in trouble. All that coming up. First, where's Wall Street? Numbers are down right now. The S&P off about 0.5%. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow off 67 points at 99.45. European markets mixed. In Asia, stocks closed mostly lower today. The Nikkei lost about 1%. The Hang Seng lost about 0.5%. Well, the focus in Washington this week will again be jobs. The Senate will take up a bill designed to encourage employers to hire new workers. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live at our Washington Bureau with the latest.
I'm here.
Hi, even
Good
in the
morning,
snow,
Steve.
John. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
so what's
even through the snow?
What's expected to be in this Senate jobs bill?
Well, the leaders are talking about tax breaks for small businesses, especially that hire the unemployed, somewhere around $5,000 per new worker. There's also likely to be a reimbursement for the Social Security taxes that small businesses pay for new employees, and possibly some extra incentives for banks to lend to small businesses to get them hiring.
And, John, you know, the Democrats have lost this filibuster-proof majority. I mean, how's that going to change the outlook for any jobs bill?
Well, it's definitely changed the focus of the Democrats' proposals from one of government stimulus to tax breaks for businesses. Over the weekend, President Obama talked about his job-creating ideas, and he made an appeal for bipartisanship.
The proposals I've outlined are not Democratic or Republican, liberal or conservative. They are pro-business, they are pro-growth, and they are pro-job.
So to get Democrats and Republicans talking to each other, the president has asked leaders from both sides to a meeting at the White House tomorrow to find some common ground on a jobs bill.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale live with us from Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
And live with us from New York this morning, Harm Bandholtz, an economist at UniCredit, talking about all this debt in Europe and Greece's debt woes as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
So there's a lot of concern in Europe, these high levels of sovereign debt. Now, if debt was the real problem at the core of the financial crisis, haven't we sort of moved it from private balance sheets to government balance sheets?
Yes, Steve, this is perfectly correct. I mean, what we see, for example, in the U.S. is that households and corporates have reduced their debt levels gradually. But this is more than offset by much higher debt levels of the federal government. And as a result, the total debt of the U.S. outstanding is now 370% of GDP. And this is actually higher than after the Great Depression.
We've been talking, Harm, for weeks about the problems in Greece. I mean, was it a trigger or was the world nervous anyway about all this debt?
Yeah, this is a good question. I'm leaning more towards that Greece was only a catalyst that made this nervousness a little bit larger. I think the market was a little bit nervous that the risk-taking that we've seen during the last months was getting too far.
All right. Thank you, Harm Bandholtz, an economist at UniCredit Research, joining us from New York. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Monday, February 8th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Along with the jobs bill will likely come the popular subsidy for COBRA health insurance for the unemployed, Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
COBRA is a federal program that lets people who lose their jobs hold on to their health insurance. The ex-employee must pay the entire premium, usually over $1,000 a month. Last March, Congress began offering a 65% subsidy on COBRA premiums. Obama's proposed legislation would extend that subsidy through the end of the year. Tom Buchanan is a health economist with the University of Michigan. He says with health care reform now uncertain,
it's a very limited policy, but I think it's probably one of the few levers that the administration had to push on.
People who opt to pay for COBRA typically have medical problems. Insurers pay out twice as much in medical claims as they get in premiums. But Karen Frost, a benefits analyst with Hewitt Associates, says the subsidy has encouraged healthier people to sign up for COBRA.
Because we're getting a broader group of people than we often do on COBRA, the risk is a little bit more spread than it normally would be.
Congressional researchers estimated last year's subsidy covered 7 million people and cost the government $25 billion. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Pepsi sat on the Super Bowl sidelines, not buying one of those gazillion-dollar ads. But it's getting plenty of media attention in Spain and Latin America with an ad campaign that features a top footballer mispronouncing the cola's name and making a point of it. It's a new gambit to sell more Pepsi to Spanish speakers. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
In the ad within an ad, an American director keeps correcting footballer Fernando Torres's pronunciation of Pepsi.
Pepsi!
Refrescate con Pepsi.
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 Pepsi! Pepsi!
The footballer gets fed up, tears that second P off of a Pepsi poster, and says in Spanish, in our neighborhood, it's called Pepsi. Investment analyst Chuck Carnaval says the company's aiming its message at international markets where soft drink sales are growing fastest.
They're trying to make their products relevant to the market, you know, in the taste of the market that they're operating in.
Pepsi's already run this campaign in Argentina, and it's got a Pepsipedia website where people can contribute local pronunciations and street slang. Harry Balzer tracks food trends at the NPD group and says giving Spanish speakers permission to say it their way is smart.
It's best if you present an image that I can identify with. Let me have what I want.
So what's next?
In Korean, we say it with an SH, Pepsi.
In Kuwait, for Pepsi, they say Pepsi.
In Cantonese, we say Pepsi.
I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The America's Cup sailing race gets underway today off the coast of Valencia, Spain. The two contestants are both billionaires, and they've spent a lot of money going after the cup this year, reportedly hundreds of millions of dollars apiece. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
At stake, returning the America's Cup to America for the first time in 15 years. Software mogul Larry Ellison will represent the USA. He'll face biotech billionaire Ernesto Bertarelli of Switzerland.
It's always had great appeal to people with a lot of money, and this time around is no exception.
That's Charles Mason of Sail Magazine, who's been following the Cup for 40 years. But he says there are some differences this year that prove just how valuable the America's Cup is to these moneyed mariners.
You know, $100 million probably was spent this year on the design and engineering of these boats. The big extra cost this year, of course, is the legal fees.
Legal fees incurred after a long battle over the location and rules of the race and the specs of the vessels. The upside for sailing fans, Mason says, is two floating masterpieces cutting through the water at speeds of 25 knots or more.
Anytime you get two 90-foot multi-hulls going around a course at these speeds, you want to say, wow!
In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Soon, probably sometime between now and the early part of April, we're going to get the Social Security Annual Trustees Report. And like everything else these days, it's expected to be in the money hole. That's got Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan talking about the health of Social Security. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So we're getting this Social Security Trustees Report in a month or two. What are we expecting to see?
Well, we expect to see this report, which comes from the Secretary of Labor, the Secretary of the Treasury, and the head of Social Security. It's the annual update. And what it's going to tell you, if you look properly, is that this year, for the first time since 1983, Social Security is taking in less cash than it's spending.
And how will they characterize this? It seems like we get the wise ones at the White House and Congress, political party, no matter. They find a way to say Social Security is sound. I mean, is that really the case?
That's what they always say. It's really not the case because Social Security, if you really understand it, can really not in the end pay out much more than it takes in. And this trust fund that it has is of no economic value. But everybody focuses on the trust fund and the year the trust fund will supposedly disappear. And I, being sort of tacky, talk about the difference between what's coming in and what's going out, which is now negative for the first time in a long time.
What does the government say to 20-somethings or even older folks, you know, the baby boomers or Generation X? What does the government say to those folks who have paid into Social Security and may not get anything out?
To people over 55, they say everything is fine. To those of you whippersnappers who are under 55, what they say is, trust us.
And should we?
Unless they fix the system, no. But I hope they do fix it.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, a new poll in Britain finds owners of cats are on average more educated than those who have dogs. After talking to thousands of pet owners, University of Bristol researchers say cat owners are 1 1/3 times more likely to have a college degree. Their conclusion, more educated people tend to work longer hours, and they find a pet to fit that lifestyle. A cat doesn't really require a trip outside several times a day and really couldn't care less if anyone is around. Hey, check us out at our website. We've got a podcast there, and you can share your thoughts, too, at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.